Good morning, Wisconsin. So let's pour that coffee and talk to some experts about what's going on in Milwaukee, Madison, Washington, and beyond. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's the Political Power Hour on WTMJ. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Should we talk about the government?
Oh, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I always look forward to these conversations. He's the political director at Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Matt Smith joins me in studio. Always good to see you.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
So much to talk about. I'm a big fan of your Upfront show. I did not see it this week, but you brought us some audio, and I had a chance to sample all of that this morning. And really big, big topics given what happened last week in Washington, D.C., which is the start of Donald Trump's second term as president. Let's start with the first one, and he is our senior senator in Wisconsin, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. You had an opportunity to sit down with him. Before we get to the first clip, what was the conversation like?
We talked a lot about literally just what happened in this past week, right? There was so much to talk about. First, when you look at immigration and the increased enforcement and the raids that are now happening across the country, thoughts on that, the whole birthright citizenship, the executive order, the January 6th pardons, the nominees before the Senate, everything that happened in this past week, we tried to jam pack into a quick little conversation.
And we have a clip, but we're not going to play this one, but I just want to touch on this before we get to the other stuff. He had talked during your interview, apparently, about some of these cabinet appointees and a process that might be utilized. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen, but he felt strongly about it.
He was. We spoke with him Friday morning about that, and he broke the news to us that privately he was going to push Republican senators to start using recess appointments to essentially jam Trump's nominees through to get him through and get him through much quicker. He was of the argument that Democrats are attempting to hold up this process, which likely in some cases, yes, they are. But the whole recess appointment is a whole other ball of wax, and it does not appear that Republican leaders in the Senate right now are on board, or there's enough in the conference right now to at least kind of go nuclear, so to speak, on these cabinet appointments.
Yeah, and to the center, I would say, well, I mean, some of the most controversial appointees have already gotten through, the Hegseths and some of the other ones, so I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that. All right, obviously, birthright citizenship is one of the big stories of last week. Let's play a short clip of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on Upfront on Channel 12.
Again, I think from the standpoint of just international law, we're one of the very few nations that allow birthright citizenship. I know why we passed the 14th Amendment. I think it definitely applied in that circumstance, supported it then. I'm not sure the people passing the 14th Amendment would anticipate wide open borders and this flood of illegal immigrants coming uncontrolled in this country, somewhat incentivized by birthright citizenship. So times have changed. We'll see how this adjudicates in the court, but I think it's kind of crazy that this is the policy of the United States right now.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on Upfront. All right, Matt, so he talked about this issue, which is on people's minds.
Yeah.
And as much as we think people sort of pulled back from listening and talking about politics post-election, I think there's still a lot of interest in this piece of this. Now, he's factually wrong. There's dozens of countries that actually have birthright citizenship, so I'm not sure where that's coming from, including most of this part of the world. When he talks about this, and when the president talks about this, it's sort of this idea, I guess, that we want to sort of maybe take a pause. Is that what he's suggesting, a pause, or is this from going forward, should this be the policy in his terminology?
I mean, I think at this moment, going forward, is what he would appreciate. He's fully supportive of the executive order that Trump signed. But yet, I think also fully aware of the courts and the fact that this is all going to be figured out in the courts. And that the judge immediately came out, the federal judge, last week and said, this is unconstitutional. So this isn't going to fly. So whether there's going to be workarounds in Congress or they're just going to cross their fingers when it gets up to the U.S. Supreme Court eventually, that's the million-dollar question at this point.
We spent a lot of time on our Friday show talking about this. It's a constitutional right. Like, you're here, you're born here. Yeah. You don't know the story of your parents because you're an infant. So you have that right on U.S. soil to be a citizen. For a president, in this case Donald Trump, to actually try to alter the Constitution, which is a very formalized process, including ratification by, I think, two-thirds of the states, seems a little contrary to how we've done things. Now, did he talk to that piece of it? Where does he think the president has the right to change the Constitution by executive order.
We didn't get that deep, but I think everyone is cognizant, and I think even the Trump team fully understood that someone was going to immediately sue, right? And they were hoping that this gets up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they hope that the conservative justices, the majority on the U.S. Supreme Court, favor in Trump. I don't know if that's going to happen. Obviously, we don't know until it gets up there. But then you also have Wisconsin and 22 states suing in terms of where this is going to go in the courts. You have Democrats who are very hopeful that the court, despite being conservative majority, is actually just going to look at blatantly at the Constitution and say, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I mean, if there ever was a case for a unanimous decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, which is much more difficult now than maybe it used to be, for all the obvious reasons that all come back to politics, I think this one is sort of a no-brainer. If we're going to allow presidents to alter the Constitution by executive order, I'll caution my friends, and the texter just made the same point, careful what you ask for, because there's a Second Amendment, too, which a lot of people hold near and dear, including me.
Yeah.
And if you want a maybe a liberal president comes in, because we know politics goes back and forth, you know, different eras and decades. That's how this could really come back and haunt people who are saying right now, yes, sign me up.
And listen, the Trump team likely knows that the chances of this maybe are not great. And listen, it was throwing fire immediately in the first week, right? And sometimes this may, when it comes to politics, is more PR than policy, right? And saying, look, we tried to convey our campaign promises through executive orders. The court ruled differently. So at least there is that effort for Trump in terms of attempting what he promised on the campaign trail.
The other big issue, Matt Smith joining me from Channel 12. Right here on the Monday edition of Political Power Hour. After the break, January 6th, pardons. You had a chance to ask the senator about that issue as well. More coming up after this on 620 WTMJ.
Do you believe the president went too far in pardoning all 1,500, including those who have been convicted or even pleaded guilty to assaulting police officers?
That there was, you know, grotesque miscarriage of justice throughout the Biden administration, certainly as it relates to people that participated in January 6th. A lot of that misjustice had to be rectified. I would have probably gone at it a little more cautiously. But in the end, I think President Trump said, well, let's just pardon them all. I don't have a real problem. I think the people who did commit violent acts, I'm not sure I would have pardoned them.
Interesting comments from senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, who was a guest on Upfront, the great program hosted by Matt Smith, who is in the studio this morning. It's another one of those topics, like people get very passionate about this.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, he did say he would have handled it differently. Did he elaborate on that?
He did a little bit, just in terms of the most violent offenders and the ones convicted or even pleaded guilty to assaulting police officers. He would have gone about it in a different way, which is notable because we saw a lot of Republicans on the Hill, a good number, kind of distance themselves from what Trump did, which is not totally usual.
Well, Speaker Johnson said basically it's a president's decision to support it.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the pat answer.
Yes, to kind of go along or, you know, I haven't seen all the cases or, you know, kind of distance yourself from the decision. But it was notable. I think, yes, Senator Johnson said what he said was a miscarriage of justice under the Biden administration, but did acknowledge that he probably would not have pardoned all 1,500 plus that Trump did.
And I would remind the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, that these people convicted were convicted by a jury of their peers.
Yeah.
You can argue about, you know, defining peers, where the case is, where it's reviewed. In these cases, it was Washington, D.C. But ultimately, they had their rights honored as citizens to hear the charges against them, to make a case against those charges, and ultimately they were convicted. Yeah. And in many cases, including the leader of the Oath Keepers, I think Stuart Rhodes, who's now free and was on stage with the president in, I believe, Las Vegas over the weekend. I'm not asking you to comment on your idea about this, but just from a journalist perspective, it's sort of a weird dynamic that this individual was charged many, many years in prison for what he did, sort of the ringleader of January 6th, is now a guest on the dais for a campaign rally.
Yeah, and it puts Republicans in an interesting position up on the Hill, right? Because Trump makes news, he does something or he says something, and then the natural inclination is to ask fellow Republicans on the Hill about that, and a lot of times they don't want to talk about it, right? Because it's something they may not necessarily agree with, or they would have done it differently, and we kind of have this back and forth, and they always know that what they say on camera, Trump is going to see, right?
Yeah, yeah, he watches a lot of TV, yeah. The president does. And apparently he stays up very late, too, which is not the most common, especially given the bedtime of the previous occupant of the White House. What else did you guys talk about?
So we talked about just in terms of immigration and this new DOJ memo that was put out, right, that essentially said, go after state and local officials. If they don't comply, investigate, prosecute them, get them out of the way. He didn't really give a direct answer on whether he would like to see Wisconsin officials prosecuted if for some reason they would stand in a way. And I know we're going to talk more about this in the second half hour with Attorney General Josh Call. But I think we're in an interesting spot, right? Because if the federal Justice Department actually does pursue that and deems, let's say you look at Chicago where raids happened over the weekend, and let's say they say the Chicago mayor, he's standing in the way, let's go after him. That's going to add a whole new layer to this debate and conversation that we're having.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was a guest on Upfront, the program that Matt Smith, my guest for this hour on the Political Power Hour Monday edition. If you have a question or comment you'd like to fire at us, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talking text line wide open at 855-616-1620. The texter makes this point. I'm curious what you think, that I'm misrepresenting the argument that he's not trying to change the Constitution. He's saying that the interpretation of birthright citizenship as written, and I read this on one of the shows I was on Friday across the three stations here, is being misinterpreted. It's an interesting comment.
Yeah, and perhaps that is the legal argument that could be pursued, right? That perhaps it is the best path in terms of supporters of this, is that the interpretation, and listen, right? Everything that goes to any type of court is all up to interpretation based on the judge or justices hearing it.
Any reporting from your station or reporting you've heard in Wisconsin that looks at a number associated with sort of this potential for people that are already citizens, is his grandfather? How does that work exactly?
My understanding is that if it were to take effect, it'd be from this point going forward. So anyone who was here prior and born under birthright citizenship is fine, so to speak, but it would be moving forward.
I raised this question on Spanning the State on Friday, my regular Friday appearance at 1:30. So personal story, yeah. I was born in the UK as a child of an American parent, my dad, who was serving the U.S. Air Force. Yeah. On an Air Force base. I'm a citizen of this country, United States, because of that. Is that something that's going to be reviewed? I mean, that's sort of a broader, because there's all kinds of sort of different little angles on, yeah, the story that sort of changes the picture. And am I worried about it? No, I think I'm okay. And especially if they grandfather us, because I've been around since 58. So I feel like I'm good.
Yeah.
But all kinds of questions related to citizenship, tons social security.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's another piece of this as well. If you yank someone's Social Security, mm-hmm, rights, if they're already working, these are interesting times in this country.
And just general enforcement. If this were to become a reality, how do you even enforce something like this? Just like we're talking about immigration, right? Where is the money? Where are the resources? And what is that? Like millions of questions surrounding all of it.
You and I were talking before the show started about, you know, we see the banners and we have all the networks up on the monitors here. And the one thing that's they all have in common is lawsuit.
Yeah.
Trump,
yeah,
challenged in court. We see this on whether it's the January 6th stuff now and some of the people that are out. We see it on birthright citizenship challenge now in a few places. States, 22 states signing on, as you mentioned earlier. This is sort of the new reality,
yeah,
in this country, is the president has been very bold, and especially if you're a supporter of the president, you go, wow, he's doing what he said he would do. I'm not arguing with that one. But this secondary response now, there will be lawyers,
yeah,
and challenges. It's sort of a wild dynamic that's going to happen in this country over the next, I don't know how many years.
And it goes back to Trump's first term and the makeup of the courts and what he was able to accomplish, not only in the appeals court, but the U.S. Supreme Court. You look at our state Supreme Court and the race coming up in April. It all comes together in terms of people say the courts are important. This is why.
And to that point, a texter from the 414, I would argue that the Second Amendment has been misinterpreted. See, this is the fascinating part of this. I've talked to Supreme Court candidates and justices.
Yeah.
And they all say the Constitution is the Constitution. But we all know that's why we have courts, that's why we have attorneys, right, and justices, because it can be interpreted.
Yeah.
And even something as sacred, those very few words in the Second Amendment, could be interpreted differently by a different leaning court.
Yeah.
Fascinating times. Matt Smith, we're going to wind it up to the bottom of the hour news with the amazing Connie Weber. I love praising Connie because she's so good at what she does. And then we're going to get to some of the interviews and audio from Attorney General Josh Call talking about some of the local challenges with the enforcement against illegals, undocumented, whatever term you want to use, in our states and what that all means. Matt Smith, outstanding political. I'm using outstanding a lot today. That means I must be in a good mood, and I am.
The sun's shining.
It is? Is it shining?
It is.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's supposed to be cloudy today. No?
Really?
I hope not, because I love the sun.
The sun was out when I drove in.
There you go. Matt Smith, political director, Channel 12. Quick break here on 620 WTMJ. Always enjoy my time with Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Host of Upfront, which is, I'll say it, the best political show on the air in Wisconsin. Because how many cities do you go to now? How many markets?
Yeah, all over the state. Yeah.
Is there a part of the state? I'm just going to ask you this because I've never asked. Is there a part of the state that doesn't show your show? And what is that part of the state?
The only part of the state is Duluth Superior, so way far west, northwestern
corner. What's going
of the
on
state.
Up there?
You know what? I've
Come
tried.
On, Superior.
I'm from the Duluth area. I've tried.
How is that hometown boy makes good?
I know. So anyone in that area, we'll get you on.
How long have you done it for?
Time just a year, 7 years. Years. Yeah.
Do you ever tally?
Time doesn't even exist anymore.
You ever tally up the number of interviews you've done?
No, I should do that.
I someone asked me this question, and I did like the back of the napkin.
Yeah.
Back of the hand, whatever it is. I've probably done like 4,000, 5,000 interviews.
It's great.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is.
And you do learn. I mean, my next question is, who have you talked to the most on your show?
Someone asked me that the other day, and that is a good question. I mean, obviously, our congressional delegation, I think, is on a fair amount just because we're talking, and leaders in the state assembly, and so in the moment, people in leadership get more airtime just because they're the ones making the news.
You're probably not going to answer this, but who says no to a Matt Smith, political director of Channel 12?
You know, there's a lot of people who, we get a lot of people on. It may take some time, as you know. It takes time sometimes, and on their schedule.
You mean it
sometimes.
Just doesn't happen naturally, no. And they just show up at your studio and you just start talking to them?
Usually not, no.
Yeah. People don't understand that. So you don't want to say who says no.
No, I don't know if there has been any hard no.
Really? You're batting a thousand.
I'll think on that for a second.
All right, we're going to spin it to Wisconsin after the break here because you also had AG Josh Call, yeah. Attorney General Josh Call on, talking about sort of the local impact of some of the efforts now by the Trump administration to go after illegals in our country, undocumented, if you use that term, and what that means from a lot of different perspectives. Yeah. He is Matt Smith, political director of Channel 12. I am Steve Scavitti, host of the Political Power Hour Monday through Friday. 9 to 10, also host of Scavidiology, which is my sort of everything other than politics podcast. Great one last Friday. Check it out on our website, WTMJ.com.
Have any Republicans indicated to you what they plan to introduce?
No, they haven't. I've seen the speaker's comments in the press, but we haven't seen any potential bill drafts. And that's unfortunate because if you want to have effective law enforcement efforts, having collaboration and having an opportunity to think through bills and make sure they're effective is a good thing. What I think we're seeing instead is an effort to play politics with this issue, and that's concerning, particularly when we have police chiefs and sheriffs around the state of Wisconsin who make judgments every day about how to use their resources most effectively. That's who I want to see making decisions about law enforcement resources, not Robin Voss and not the legislature.
It's an interesting challenge from Attorney General Josh Call to the Trump administration. We know that this is on everyone's radar now because we are starting to hear reports from Chicago, big cities.
Yep.
But eventually it gets out of the big cities and starts to touch small communities. And Josh Call, Attorney General of the State of Wisconsin, raises some interesting points. And I've looked at it, and Matt Smith is my guest for the hour, if you haven't guessed already. That was your colleague, Jaron Jordan, who shares time with you on.
Yeah.
Do you do the interviews together or separately?
Yep.
I think I've seen both.
We changed it up. Yeah, so we were asking Call about Speaker Voss told me last week that they're going to introduce a bill this week, Republicans in the state legislature, related to deportations and ICE, essentially saying he hasn't given the exact language, but he summed it up saying that we're going to issue legislation that would require people to follow the law and follow the directives with ICE. Just a broad overview, and we're asking the Attorney General his reaction to that.
Yeah, and I'm going to reach out to Speaker Voss because I have him on the show occasionally. And one of the things that I've noted, this is sort of deviating it slightly, we'll get back to this because we have another clip to play from an AG Josh Call.
Yeah.
We seem to be in this period of legislative action that sort of reinforces what the law is already. So they're like putting a declarative exclamation point on what is already the law.
Yeah, and I asked him last week, I said, wait, are you working on Trump with this or the administration? He said, well, you'll have to wait until we introduce it to see. So it's this top-down approach, right, to introduce something that is law, but just to potentially appease the administration, right?
And I've talked to some chiefs, not a lot yet. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing story as it sort of bleeds out of the city, and I use that word on purpose. I think that we are going to see some who say enthusiastically, we're all on board, but we're also going to see from some maybe larger communities, maybe Racine, Madison.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We're still going to follow the due process. I'm not saying the Trump administration is not going to do that. And to the texter who keeps texting, why don't you tell it like it is? They're deporting illegal criminals. I think for the most part, and again, this is a broad generalization, most Americans would support this administration, whether you voted for him or not, to remove gang members who are here illegally. That's like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and we're going to hear Josh Call say that in our upcoming clip.
Yeah, I think that's the one that most people go, yeah, that makes sense. Where it gets tricky is, and this is sort of the economic impact, and I don't know if you had a chance to explore that with the AG.
Yeah.
It's not really his area.
Right.
But it will have, depending on how far this goes, how extensive these raids are, and who is removed, it can have dire impact for many sectors of our economy in Wisconsin.
Yeah, including the dairy industry, which Senator Johnson acknowledged when we chatted with him as well.
So you wonder if that's sort of the next phase of the story. I'll say third phase. The big stories, big cities, getting out to the smaller communities, and then maybe lastly, maybe time has to go before we start thinking about the economic impact of these removals, essentially. And then the other piece, maybe this is phase four, where are these people going to be stored, processed? How has that happened? Does it tie up our courts? All of these questions, how much does it cost? Another question. I've sort of filled the whole show with a future show with all the things I could ask about this. But I think that's sort of the extra stories in this main story of removing people who are in this country illegally. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Matt Smith, political director, Channel 12. We're going to take a break here. After the break, more of Attorney General Josh Call on this story. If you have a question or comment, keep them coming. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited, WTMJ. Talking text line.
Certainly, if there's somebody who has committed some horrific violent crime and there's an effort to deport them, nobody wants to see those folks remain in the country. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to see some of the extreme stuff we've seen from the Trump administration, like potentially having immigration raids at churches or at schools against people who themselves may have committed no crime other than being here undocumented.
If we were to see something at one of those facilities in the state, what would you do?
It's going to depend on the circumstances.
That is the Attorney General of the State of Wisconsin, Josh Call. Matt Smith joining me in studio. That was, first of all, a great follow-up question. I mean, that's the question, right? What's going to happen if that happens?
And look, I think we're at a moment where we kind of wanted to get everyone on record just in terms of we're seeing now what happened over the weekend in Chicago. And our local officials, is the state DOG, the Attorney General, who's a Democrat, are you going to attempt to put up roadblocks for the federal administration, and what would that look like?
This is where it gets dicey, because you can certainly, and this is not unique to this story or this effort, the politicization of these things, right? So, and the Attorney General interjected that because he went after the Trump administration. I know there was a report from Chicago that a school was gone into. I don't know that turned out to be right.
No, it was Secret Service.
Secret Service,
and Chicago Public Schools came out and held a news conference and said it was ICE. It turned out not to be ICE. That seemed a little bit of a mess in communication at the very least.
Yeah, I guess that's where I caution Attorney General and others to make sure that you were actually talking about what this is.
Yeah. Right.
And not confuse other things or miscommunications and sort of go after those.
Or throw gasoline under the fire in what is already an incredibly tense conversation.
From a journalist's perspective, are you aware of any efforts in Wisconsin currently related to this effort?
No. As of now, no massive increased enforcement beyond what is typical with ICE. And this is routine. ICE does this. ICE did this before. ICE will continue to do this. But everyone from Senator Johnson to the Attorney General to officials, you know, across the state, no one is aware yet. Like, we saw Tom Homan in Chicago, right? They took a picture. The Trump administration is making this very public. They want to make this very public in terms of what they're doing. So I think for local officials, whether it be local sheriffs or police or the attorney general or the governor. It's a wait and see in terms of what a scenario may look like beyond typical enforcement.
Right. To your public comment, I did note and saw, I think, a video this morning, or at least a picture of a video. Dr. Phil, I think his last name is McGraw.
Yeah.
Is actually at some of these things.
He was embedded over the weekend, looks like, in Chicago with agents.
I'm not aware of, does he have an official designation within the Trump administration?
No, I think just for his, I think his show is still on. I think he's launched his own media company now.
Okay.
So
it seems like a weird cooperation or link.
Yeah, and he was praising the effort. So I think
I'm not passing judgment on that. Yeah. I just think it's interesting that, because, correct me if I'm wrong, I've talked to a lot of chiefs and sheriffs over my time and doing this and beyond. There's always elements of risk to this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can't be dangerous situations. Yes. It seems like interjecting a TV celebrity into something like this seems sort of nefarious to me. I don't get it.
During my career, I mean, we've gone on undercover, whether not immigration related, but undercover operations or raids with police and local police. And it is a very dicey situation sometimes, right, to be embedded when something does go down.
You had extensive conversations with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Attorney General Josh Call. What else did Attorney General Josh Call talk about in your conversation?
Listen, he's taking this middle-of-the-road approach in some essence, where you heard him say, listen, no one wants criminals, if they are here illegally, to remain here, right? Everyone can get behind that. Where he stood up to the Trump administration a little bit was, A, this threat of being prosecuted by the federal DOJ. He goes, these are intimidation tactics.
Well, especially when you're talking about prosecuting law enforcement, because they're not doing what the administration wants.
And he acknowledged, he goes, listen, federal authorities have incredible oversight in terms of immigration enforcement. This is their deal. But there are also state laws and things that we can do. If we see something that we don't think is up to par, we're going to step in from a Democratic perspective.
Did Senator Johnson or Attorney General Josh Call talk about the resources, the dollars needed to sort of do these things?
Yeah, we didn't talk with Senator Johnson about this, but we've talked with him in the past. This is projected to cost billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. If Congress will need to fund this, right? If this is going to go to the level that Trump has promised and Trump wants it to go, it's going to require buy-in from Congress, just for the simple fact of resources and the allocation of all of that.
Billions and billions of dollars. Not that the government can't afford it, but it's going to be an interesting time, because one thing that the Trump administration has promised is sort of look at how we spend our money. Now, a lot of texters, and I give you credit, because I was very forceful on this last Monday when I did the show by myself. I think this is a win for the president potentially if he takes criminals out of the mix. Once you get a little more diffused and away from that, then it gets a little dicey and people will question that. All right, we're going to take an early break here. Final segment. We'll find out what political director Matt Smith, Channel 12, is going to be looking at this week. Maybe perhaps you're going to talk to this week. We'll get to all of that and more. Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ.
Fly me to the moon. Let me,
I don't know if that's a message from Producer Jazz or just a good Frank Sinatra song. I always love to hear from old Blue Eyes. Matt Smith, political director, Channel 12. He does a fantastic job on the Upfront program. If you've never watched the program, where can folks find it? Because it is the best political conversation in the state. How do they find it?
Yeah, right. If you want to just watch it online, you can go to WISN.com/upfront, and all the full episodes are right there.
And he's got all the newsmakers we talked about. AG Josh Call was on this week. You sent it, Ron Johnson. Was there another guest?
Yeah, we had a criminal defense attorney who defended some January 6th defendants
from
Wisconsin.
Yeah, so, I mean, just great content every week. All right. I always ask you at the end of the program, what's your look ahead? What are you thinking about focusing on in your role?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think it'll be curious to see what Republicans here in the state introduce in terms of this deportation legislation that they've hinted at, that they've said they're going to introduce this week. It'll be curious to see what happens there. Also in the state capitol, you're starting to see the budget discussions, right, really start to heat up. The governor is going to give his official budget address next week, coming off the State of the State. So how those conversations start to form and what people are saying publicly is always fascinating. And then just week two of the Trump administration, right? If it was rapid fire like week one, Friday's going to look a whole lot different than it does as we sit here today.
It's interesting you said that, because someone asked me about that. I think it was on Friday, one of the shows I was on.
Yeah.
Is it going to slow down? I said, I don't think
so. No, I don't think so.
I don't know what the number is, and maybe someone said it was 200 something orders now, and I'm lumping all the 1500 together because I think that's how it was written. I could be wrong.
And listen, they came in prepared, ready to launch.
No question.
Right?
My contributor on Friday, Bill McCosker, said expect shock and awe. And I think I think for the most part we have that.
Yes,
it's not surprising.
Yeah, and they know the midterms are fast approaching, right? And they know if history is any judge that they may lose one of the chambers, they may not have full Republican control. So what they want to get done is going to get accomplished in this first year and a half.
I should probably know the answer to this, but have you had Speaker Mike Johnson on the program?
No, we haven't. That would be fun to get on at some point.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much media availability he has outside of what he does in the halls of Congress, but he's a fascinating individual.
Yes.
His story is really unique, and I'll encourage people to just go find it because I don't have the time to talk about it. But he is someone who has certainly had the back of the former and now current occupant of the Oval Office and White House, Donald Trump.
Yeah, and he was here in Wisconsin campaigning to ensure the House remained Republican. Yeah, so he was here during campaign season last year.
And my closest contact with the speaker was when we were doing the RNC in Milwaukee, and we had a booth in sort of Radio Row. He walked by me. We tried to get his attention, but and I've seen a lot of the, like, the Trump sons were there. He had more people around him than candidate Trump had.
Yeah.
It was insane.
A lot of security.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know if they were security or just, you know, people.
Just his people.
I suppose speaker. Staffers. What are you, third in line? Third in line for the.
Yeah, you're important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'll. No, this is a. I can't ask. I was going to ask you an opinion question, but I don't want you to do that.
Thank you.
Looking ahead.
Yeah.
For a Wisconsin perspective on all of the issues we talked about today and maybe the economy.
Yeah.
When I look at local news, and I'm not a big fan of local news other than the specialty shows like yours. To me, and I mentioned this earlier, the economic impact of all this stuff, you and I were talking during the break, the price of eggs, the fact that you can't even find eggs in some stores, that seems like that could be a big story.
Yeah, I think it's going to be curious to see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
And if it is, you know, the economy was huge in the presidential election, right? And rightfully so. How much this now translates and fingers start pointing to a new administration or a new Congress or
what when does the finger start going back?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, right? And who's going to start that finger pointing? Everything is political these days. Eggs are political, right? Like, right. I mean,
and I mentioned
so
to you,
who knows?
I have friends who own restaurants.
Yeah.
And they serve breakfast.
Yeah.
Are they going to absorb those costs or is that going to get passed on? And nothing will irritate a senior, and since I am a senior, I can say this, more than your cost of breakfast being like $2, $3, $4 more because those, in my case, two eggs over easy are super expensive. Nothing will irritate the base and the country quicker than that reality.
Yeah. And our, you know what? Our collective memories are short. So if this is a little blip, everyone will move on. If it's not, it'll become a thing. Who knows?
Matt Smith, political director, Channel 12. I always love talking to you.
Yeah, enjoy your week.
Yeah, have a great week yourself. We'll do it again down the road. If you miss any or all of our conversation, it'll be up on the podcast page, WTMJ.com. Don't forget to check out my two podcasts. Scafidiology, got a great one last Friday about a kidney donor and a recipient who live next door to each other. Fantastic, incredible story. You can hear about their journey. You can find it wherever you get your podcast or WTMJ.com. And with Kristen, Brian, and I from Spanning the State, our second You Need to Listen podcast, we're recording it tomorrow. Should you quit social media is how we're going to start it. Fascinating topic. We're going to have fun as we always do. You can find that, of course, wherever you get your podcasts or at WTMJ.com.